Chapter 11. Wong's Problem. Naya Reyes packed Tessa Kim's file because the apartment had started making decisions for her. The folder had spent the night on the coffee table, then the floor, then the kitchen counter beside a mug she had filled and not drunk. Every time Naya tried to leave it in one place, she found herself walking back to check whether the papers were still there. Hospital record. Traffic camera request. Incident summary. Victim services card with Maribel's number written twice because Maribel had seen Naya's hands shaking and understood that one copy of A Kindness could be lost. By morning, the folder had become less like evidence and more like a small, flat animal she was responsible for keeping alive. Naya hated that thought and kept it anyway. She put it in her tote bag beside her returned wallet, a granola bar from the cabinet of someone named Aaron, and the charger that no longer fit her current phone but had belonged to the old one. The charger felt important for reasons that would not survive being spoken aloud. Her screen showed 87 new notifications from the Last Witnesses forum. She had joined at 2:13 a.m. with the username Walking Home, because every other name she tried made her feel like she was lying. By 2:40, three people had messaged her privately. By 3:05, she had learned that people could turn terror into community guidelines faster than any disaster office she had visited. At 4:20, someone had posted a map with red pins scattered across six continents and three translated off-world feeds. Most of the pins had question marks. Some had pictures of orange light reflected in windows, rivers, operating rooms, mining dust, rainwater, cracked phone screens. At 5:11, someone named H_Solis posted, "Do not travel alone because of a dream. Call someone. Drink water. If you feel pulled in a direction, write it down before you move." At 5:14, someone else replied, "What if writing it down makes it louder?" Nia had not replied. She had written East on the back of an unpaid electric bill and watched the letters sit there like a dare. Now, at 8:06 a.m., she stood by the door in shoes she had chosen because they were dry and because they had not been in the traffic footage. The city outside her apartment had already begun its ordinary morning argument. Truck brakes, construction saws, the elevator coughing somewhere below, someone laughing too loudly on the sidewalk. None of it cared that Nia could feel a direction behind her ribs. East.
It did not arrive as a voice. That would have been easier to distrust. It arrived as orientation. The same way a person knows where down is without being told. If she turned west, her body corrected her. If she faced north, something behind her sternum waited. East made the waiting stop. Nia opened the map on her phone. East from her apartment meant a lot of things. It meant a coffee shop she had never liked, a dental clinic that used to be Thai food, the medical office where she and Tessa had worked before the snap, Lake Washington if she kept going long enough, and eventually whole states she had no intention of crossing because a symptom had learned geography. She zoomed out. The blue dot pulsed patiently. Nia said, "Absolutely not." The apartment gave no opinion. She left anyway. For the first 20 minutes, following the pole looked exactly like walking to a place she already knew and resenting every block of it. Nia kept the tote strap across her body with one hand over the folder through the canvas. She did not take a bus. A bus would make the eastward feeling too easy to obey, and she wanted the option to stop. She also wanted proof that the pole could be bored into giving up. If it was a real cosmic wound, maybe it had stamina. If it was trauma, maybe it would tire before she did. It did neither.
It took her past a dry cleaner with a new sign, past two people arguing over a parking spot, past a storefront still papered with five-year-old campaign posters nobody had bothered to remove after half the volunteers came back. At every intersection, Naya paused through one full signal cycle before crossing. The crosswalk voice spoke in its patient machine rhythm. Walk sign is on. Walk sign is on. Walk sign is on. She crossed when other people crossed. She watched tires. She watched shoulders. Her mind built accident paths without permission. A bicycle sliding on paint. A delivery van rolling past the stop line. A man stepping backward from a curb while reading his phone. The paths appeared and vanished, more calculation than vision, too fast for comfort. Each one left a small taste of metal in her mouth. By the time she reached the block where Tessa had wanted noodles, Naya's shirt stuck to the back of her neck. The noodle shop was still there. That was rude in ways she had not prepared for. Its windows were fogged from broth. A handwritten sign said, "Cash only until machine fixed." Same slanted letters as 5 years ago, unless someone had imitated the owner with unsettling devotion. A bicycle leaned against the front window. Inside, a cook lifted noodles from a pot, and steam moved across the glass like weather. Naya stood outside long enough for a woman in line to glance at her twice.
Tessa had wanted noodles. Nia had said she needed to go home and call her mother. That was the last disagreement. One ordinary piece of friction between people who assumed there would be more chances to annoy each other. The pole did not care about the noodle shop. It kept pointing east. "Of course," Nia said, and walked past it. 12 minutes later, the pole led her into the service alley behind a closed pharmacy. There was a dumpster, a stack of damp cardboard, a delivery door with a keypad, and 3 milk crates arranged by someone who had needed a place to smoke out of the rain. A strip of orange caution tape had tangled itself around the base of a drain pipe. It fluttered when a truck passed at the mouth of the alley. Nia waited. Nothing opened. No water appeared. No orange horizon burned against the brick. No dead friend forgave her. No universe explained its paperwork. A gull screamed from the roof of the pharmacy. Nia looked up at it. "You are not part of this," she said. The gull blinked with the confidence of a creature that had never been accountable to a plot in its life. Nia sat on one of the milk crates because her legs had begun to shake. The tote bag rested against her knees. She took out the folder and opened it to the page she had folded most badly. Coworker listed in personal effects contact.
Nia Reyes. Work/friend/will-yell-usefully. The sentence had become a bruise. Every time she touched it, the color changed. Her phone buzzed. The last witnesses forum had generated another notification. Someone named Elias Anusi had posted a new rule. Do not ignore the poll. Record direction, time, physical symptoms, and emotional context. Report repeated directional convergence to a moderator. Nia read the line twice. Then she checked the timestamp. 8:49 a.m. She looked at the dumpster, the wet cardboard, the keypad, the useless orange tape. The poll had not brought her to an answer. It had brought her to the back of a pharmacy that smelled like old rain and fryer oil from the restaurant next door. Nia typed with both thumbs. What if the direction is wrong? She did not post it. Instead, she deleted the words, opened her contacts, and called the number Maribel had written on the victim services card. Tessa's mother lived in a narrow house north of the clinic, painted pale green with white trim and a front step full of shoes.
Maribel had asked twice whether Nia wanted her to make the call first. Nia said no both times, then stood on the sidewalk outside the house for 6 minutes unable to climb the steps. A strip of garden ran along the fence. Someone had planted mint there and failed to defeat it. The mint had spread between the stones, into the cracks, under the gate. Tessa would have had an opinion about that. Tessa had opinions about plants that behaved like landlords. The woman who opened the door had Tessa's mouth and no patience for ceremonies. Nia, she said. Nia forgot every sentence she had practiced. Mrs. Kim looked at the tote bag, then at Nia's face. She wore gray pants, house slippers, and a navy sweater with one sleeve pushed higher than the other. Her hair was cut short and neat. Behind her, the hallway smelled like rice, floor cleaner, and something medicinal. "Come in," Mrs. Kim said. Nia did. The house was not a shrine. That made it harder. There were pictures of Tessa, yes, but they lived among other things. A calendar from a dentist, a bowl of keys, a stack of grocery bags, a plastic bin of batteries, a framed certificate from Tessa's clinic, a small photograph of Tessa at 9 or 10 with missing front teeth and one knee bandaged. Life had continued around grief and made it share shelf space. Mrs. Kim took Nia's coat, though Nia had not realized she was wearing one.
"Tea?" Mrs. Kim asked. "I don't want you to make me do anything. Then sit without tea." Nia sat at the kitchen table. There were 4 chairs. One had a cushion with a flattened corner. One held a laundry basket. Mrs. Kim moved the basket without comment and set it on the floor. For a while, the two of them listened to water heating in an electric kettle, because Mrs. Kim had made tea anyway. Nia opened the tote bag. The folder stuck for a moment against the charger and came out with a corner bent. "I have the records," she said. "I don't know if you want them. I don't know if I should have them." Mrs. Kim looked at the folder, but did not reach for it. "They gave you the video?" Nia nodded. "You watched?" "Yes." Mrs. Kim turned her wedding ring once around her finger. Nia watched the movement because it gave her eyes somewhere to go. "I saw it in court. The driver's lawyer said the blip made the accident impossible to assign normally. His word was normally. I remember because I wanted to ask what a normal accident is." Nia swallowed. "I'm sorry." "For what part?" "It was not cruel." That made Nia answer carefully. "For not being there after."
Mrs. Kim poured hot water into 2 mugs. One mug said "World's Okayest Aunt." The other had a faded cartoon cat wearing sunglasses. "You were dust," she said. Nia flinched at the plainness. Mrs. Kim brought the mugs to the table and sat across from her. "I was angry anyway," she said. "For 3 days, maybe 4, no one knew where anyone was. The hospital had too many names and not enough bodies. I thought maybe you ran because you were scared. I thought many things. Then a woman from the city showed me the footage." She wrapped both hands around her mug. "After that, I was angry at empty space." Nia looked down at Tessa's file. A drop from the mug fell on the table between them and held its shape. "She asked if I was found," Nia said. "Yes." "I don't know what to do with that." Mrs. Kim was quiet long enough that the kettle clicked as it cooled. "She asked because she loved you," she said finally. "She was angry with you often. That was also love. Tessa did not waste anger on people she did not expect to improve." Nia made a sound that hurt coming out. Mrs. Kim reached into the pocket of her sweater and took out a phone. It was an old model in a cracked clear case. A sticker of a moon had been tucked under the plastic, its silver surface worn almost white.
"This was hers," Mrs. Kim said. "It does not connect anymore. I charge it sometimes, because I am foolish." Nia stared at it. "I can't. You can say no. I am saying no. Then I will put it away." Mrs. Kim did not move. Nia hated her for that, for almost 1 full second. Then she hated herself, because the anger did not belong only to her. It came with a hospital ceiling, a mouth full of dryness, a hand squeezing too hard, and the enormous effort of wanting someone to answer a phone that could not ring where they were. She gripped the edge of the table. Mrs. Kim saw the change and set the phone down carefully between them. "What is happening?" she asked. Nia tried to explain without using any of the words from the forum. "Misclaimed" sounded obscene in this kitchen. "Last witnesses" sounded like a club for people who wanted matching jackets. "Pull" sounded like an excuse.
She told Mrs. Kim about waking in the bathtub, the crosswalk voice, the traffic paths, the alley behind the pharmacy. She did not tell her about black water until Mrs. Kim said, very softly, "Tessa dreamed water before she died." Nia stopped breathing right. Mrs. Kim's face did not change. That was worse than surprise.
When she woke the first time after surgery, she said, she asked if it was raining. The room had no window. I said no. She said she could hear water. I thought medication. The old phone on the table lit. Neither of them had touched it. For 3 seconds, the screen showed only the dead battery icon, impossible, and red. Then the crosswalk signal outside the house began speaking. Walk sign is on to cross Mercer Street. There was no crosswalk on Mrs. Kim's block.
Wong answered, yes. Is this Wong? A woman's voice asked. Usually. This is Dr. Asha Menon at Harborview. I was given this number by a man in New York who said if I described post-blip patients with impossible death memories, you would either hang up or appear. Wong looked at the tablet. I am already here. There was a pause. In Seattle? At a nail salon with bad coffee. Why? Because someone is making traffic signals speak from places where there are no traffic signals. Another pause. This one had medical calculation inside it. Naya Reyes, Asha said. The third point brightened. That is one of your cases? Yes. She is one of the true pattern cases. Crosswalk impact. Friend died in her place. Do not say in her place when you speak to her. Asha went quiet. Wong appreciated people who could recognize useful correction without decorating it. Understood, she said. What are you seeing? A boundary problem. That is not a diagnosis. Then call it a working label.
Wong heard someone in the background say, I hate that I understood that. Another voice, likely Mina Park, based on the file Asha had sent during the call setup, he had skimmed the names because names mattered in problems involving death. They mattered in most problems. People forgot that and then invented philosophy to cover the damage. Asha said, can you be more specific? Wong looked at the map. Harborview and Ash Street pulsed steadily. The residential point flared again, then bent, not east, but toward the accident intersection and away from it at the same time. Your cases are not being pulled by a compass, he said. Direction is a symptom. Good, Asha said. Good? I was worried it was becoming too convenient. Wong lowered the coffee without drinking. Good instinct. I work in emergency medicine. Convenient is usually when the second patient arrives. The third point flashed hard enough that the tablet warmed under Wong's hand. From somewhere east of him, a mechanical voice said, "Walk sign is on to cross Mercer Street." Everyone on the sidewalk stopped. There was no signal at the corner. Wong handed the coffee to the nearest stranger, who accepted it because people in cities often accepted impossible tasks before understanding them. I will call you back, he told Asha, and opened a gate.
The circle of gold light appeared in Mrs. Kim's kitchen between the refrigerator and the table, which was rude because the kitchen was small. Naya stood so quickly her chair hit the wall. Mrs. Kim picked up Tessa's phone. Neither of them screamed. Naya would remember that later and decide shock had practical uses. A man stepped through the circle. He wore layered robes under a dark coat, which should have looked ridiculous next to the refrigerator magnets and the rice cooker. It did not. He had the expression of someone who had arrived exactly when necessary and was annoyed about the necessity. He looked at Mrs. Kim first. Mrs. Kim? She held Tessa's phone with both hands. Yes? My name is Wong. I am sorry for entering your home without permission. Something is active in this room and your front door was slower. Mrs. Kim stared at him. Take off your shoes. Wong looked down. Then he stepped back through the circle, removed his boots somewhere impossible, and stepped back into the kitchen in socks. Naya laughed once before she could stop herself. It came out too sharp and too close to crying. Wong looked at her. Naya Reyes, are you with Elias? No. Are you with the government? Occasionally, against my will. Hospital? No. Cult?
Definitely no. Mrs. Kim set Tessa's phone on the table. Tea? She asked. Wong hesitated. The crosswalk voice sounded again from nowhere, louder this time. Walk sign is on to cross Mercer Street. The lights flickered. On the wall above the sink, a framed photograph of Tessa at the beach tilted in its nail until it hung crooked. Wong raised one hand. A small circle of gold lines formed over his palm and flattened into a disc. The air in the kitchen tightened. Nia felt it in her teeth. Tea after, he said. The phone on the table buzzed. Its cracked screen brightened. A voicemail notification appeared. Nia's name. Duration 000007. Mrs. Kim made a sound low in her throat. That was never there, she said. Wong did not touch the phone. It may still not be there. Nia stared at the screen until the letters doubled. What does that mean? It means we do not press play. It may be an echo. It may be bait. We find out which first. The kitchen became very still. Nia wanted him to be wrong because wrong would let her touch the phone. She wanted him to be right because right would give her a reason not to. She put both hands flat on the table and looked at the silver moon sticker worn almost white under the case.
The pole told me east, she said. It took me to an alley behind a pharmacy. Wong's expression changed by a small amount. Good. No, not good. Stupid. It was a dumpster. Then the instruction failed. Good to know. Naya sat down, because her knees had voted without consulting her. Mrs. Kim remained standing. What is happening to her? She asked. Wong looked from Mrs. Kim to Naya, then to the phone. When the snap happened, something had already started to take her. The snap interrupted it. The return did not close the file. She is alive. Keep that first. Who is taking her now? That is one of my problems. Only one? Today, yes. Naya heard the answer land in Mrs. Kim. It did not comfort her. It gave her something solid enough to dislike. Tessa heard water, Mrs. Kim said. Wong's gaze sharpened. Before she died? In the hospital. She said the room had water in it. There was no water. Wong looked at Naya. Did you know this? Naya shook her head. The friend who remained at the accident may have been close enough to catch an echo, Wong said. He stopped himself. Naya saw the stop. She appreciated it more than she expected. You were about to say she doesn't count.
I was about to use the wrong language. Mrs. Kim pulled out the fourth chair and sat. For the first time since Wong arrived, she looked tired instead of prepared. She counted, Mrs. Kim said. Yes, Wong said. The word was plain. It helped. The phone buzzed again. The voicemail notification flashed, disappeared, then returned. The kitchen lights flickered in a pattern Nia recognized from the crosswalk countdown. 10, 9, 8, 7. Nia closed her eyes. For a moment she was back in the footage, rain smearing the lens, the SUV entering too fast, Tessa's fingers closing on air. Then the image moved past the point where the city record had broken her. It kept going. The camera angle dropped to street level. The umbrella lay open in the rain. Tessa's face turned toward pavement. Her mouth moved around a word Nia could not hear. Nia opened her eyes before the fragment could make a home there. No, she said. The countdown stopped. Wong watched her carefully. Nia pushed the phone toward him with two fingers.
You keep it until you know what it is. Mrs. Kim inhaled. Nia looked at her. I want to hear it. I want that more than I want to be smart, so someone else has to be smart for a minute. Mrs. Kim's hand moved toward the phone, then stopped. Okay, she said.
Wong took a folded cloth from inside his coat and wrapped the phone in it without touching the screen. Gold script moved across the fabric and settled. I can hold it temporarily. Objects with grief attached become difficult if stored improperly. Nia almost asked what improperly meant. Then she decided she did not want to know what a wizard considered bad storage. What now? She asked. Now I need the traffic footage, the hospital record, the location where you felt the pull fail, and Dr. Menon's case files. And Elias? Wong tucked the wrapped phone inside his coat. Eventually, but not first. Nia waited for the sentence to continue into something grander. It did not. Wong began checking the cabinets under Mrs. Kim's sink. What are you doing? Looking for salt. Mrs. Kim pointed to the cabinet by the stove. Wong opened it, found the salt, and poured a clean line across the kitchen threshold. He did the same at the back door. The movements were quick and practical, less like ritual than housework with consequences. Nia watched him seal the windows with two fingers and a muttered phrase she could not understand. The gold light faded into the paint. The room felt less crowded afterward. You said, not first, Nia said. Wong capped the salt.
Elias Crow is amplifying a pattern he does not understand. That makes him dangerous. It does not make him the source. The words loosened something under Nia's ribs. She had not realized how much she had hated the thought of walking into that gym and handing another man the right to explain Tessa to her. Then where do we start? Wong looked at the tote bag. With the place everyone keeps treating as background. Nia put one hand over the folder. The crosswalk. The crosswalk, Wong said. Mrs. Kim stood and took two mugs from the counter. The tea had gone too dark. She poured it into the sink and started again. Tea first, she said. Wong opened his mouth, then closed it. Nia sat with both feet flat on the kitchen floor while Mrs. Kim made tea and Wong pretended not to watch the window for movement. Outside, a car passed. Somewhere farther away, an ordinary signal told ordinary pedestrians when to cross. For the length of one cooling mug, nobody obeyed any pull at all. They went to Mercer Street in Mrs. Kim's car because Mrs. Kim said if impossible things were going to happen around her daughter's death, she was not waiting at home to be updated by strangers.
Wong sat in the front passenger seat with the posture of a man enduring local transportation for diplomatic reasons. Nia sat in the back with the tote bag on her lap. Nobody played music. The wrapped phone rested inside a small wooden box Wong had produced from somewhere in his coat. The box clicked every time they turned left. At the intersection, the day had become clear in the unhelpful way Seattle sometimes became clear after rain, all wet pavement and sharp reflections. The plaque with Tessa's name remained on the pole. The white walking figure waited inside its dark square. Nia got out before anyone could ask if she was ready. She was not ready. The question had become useless. Wong stood beside her and looked at the traffic, the curb, the camera mounted above the signal, the plaque, the painted bars of the crosswalk. He did not speak for a long time.
Well? Nia asked.
I am trying not to insult the intersection.
Can intersections be insulted? This one appears sensitive.
Mrs. Kim came to stand on Nia's other side. She did not touch the plaque. She only looked at her daughter's name. Nia waited for the pole to tell her east again. It did. This time she did not move.
The pressure grew. It pushed against her ribs, her throat, the soles of her feet. East, 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 with the dumb insistence of a machine that had mistaken repetition for truth. Nia took Tessa's file out of the tote bag and handed it to Mrs. Kim. Hold this. Mrs. Kim took it. Nia stepped to the curb.
The walking figure appeared. Walk sign is on to cross Mercer Street.
Wong lifted one hand but did not stop her. Nia crossed west. Halfway through the crosswalk, the buckle did not show in cars or windows. No portal opened over the street. It happened in the paths of things. Nia felt it as resistance against every possible motion. The SUV that was not there wanted to enter from the left. The umbrella wanted to fall. Tessa's hand wanted to close. Nia's body wanted to become absence. She kept walking. People at the curb shouted. A horn sounded, real this time, because a driver had grown impatient with a woman moving too slowly through a green light. Wong said something in a language Nia did not know, and the horn cut off as if swallowed. Nia reached the opposite curb. The pull snapped.
For 1 second, the whole intersection became only an intersection. Wet paint, exhaust, impatient drivers, Mrs. Kim holding a folder, Wong standing in socks inside his boots because he had put them on in a hurry and gotten one heel wrong. Then the camera above the traffic light turned toward Nia. It should not have been able to move. Wong looked up. "There," he said. The camera lens filled with orange light. Nia did not see a horizon. She saw the traffic footage from a new angle, not the city's angle and not her own. She saw the instant before her dusting as forces crossing, vehicle, rain, law, chance, Tessa's reaching hand, Nia's vanishing body, one force reaching and one force removing. None of them formed a straight line. None of them pointed east. They pointed through. Wong made a sharp motion with both hands. Gold geometry opened around the traffic camera and closed like a lock. The light vanished. Traffic resumed with a collective anger that proved most people had missed the important part and noticed only the inconvenience. Nia turned back toward Mrs. Kim. The eastward pressure remained, but smaller now, reduced to a symptom with competition. Wong crossed to her side when the signal changed. "You were right," he said. Nia laughed, because the alternative was sitting down in the street.
"Please be more specific. I am new to being right." "It was incomplete. This intersection matters. If you skip it, the pole uses your guilt as a shortcut." Nia looked at the traffic camera. It sat still again, pretending to be municipal equipment. "So what am I supposed to do?" Wong followed her gaze. "First, we get the original footage before someone edits out the part where the camera looks back." Mrs. Kim joined them with the folder held tight against her chest. "Then?" Wong looked at the two women. His face was grave in a way that did not ask to be admired. "Then I speak to Dr. Menon and we stop treating this as a support group emergency." Nia looked east. The pull waited there, patient and diminished, still convinced it would eventually win because bodies were easier to move than grief. She turned away from it and walked with Mrs. Kim toward the records office.